Well, what a day, huh? I had no idea. It was nice and bright when I left the house. And we'll do something quite different. We actually brought food that we had to cook. And guess what? We won't be cooking. The decision, the choice has been made for us. We won't have to worry about cooking today. What we'll probably do is just go get all that we can get and go home. And I'm in a jam because literally I woke up this morning with about three messages on my heart and just trying to find God, the direction that the Lord had me to go. It's all Bible, so it's all good. And we'll make sure that I'm right in my direction. The Lord's always right, and I have a hard time with my carnality of getting on board with Him. My foolish mind, my foolish way of thinking gets in the way sometimes. But let's go, please, to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Don't know what we'll do, but we'll do something. Pray God that it's pleasing to Him. I was listening to my old pastor last night, Brother Leroy, and he said something that I really, really liked. He said, if you got a question about the Bible, don't go to a commentary. Go to the Bible. And man, he just kind of blew out them commentaries for a while and uplifted the Word of God. And I went, amen, I like that, amen. And so it was good, amen. Preacher, I didn't try it. He said, preacher, I didn't try it. I didn't try to go to the Bible. He said, try it again. Preacher, I didn't pray it. He said, try it again. I said, amen, that's good. That's deep, boy, that's good. Wouldn't it be something if we could get a hold of that? Be good, amen. And mama, I won't even start with that. But Leroy said, my God, ain't nobody ever heard of a trash can. He said, I've never seen so much trash in all my life. Who in the world put a rusty refrigerator in the fellowship hall? He said, this ain't the dump. Don't dedicate your trash to this church. I said, oh, sassy old man. I like him. Well, Philippians chapter 3. Finally, my brethren. My God. I think about Paul here in chapter 3 making that statement. He said, finally, in chapter 3. And the people probably went, well, man, he's about done. He's, well, we're wrapping this thing. And he wrote two more chapters, sort of like a Baptist preacher. I'll be done just a minute. And two more chapters, and two more hours later, they're still going. He said, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you, it is safe. Let me say something to you that are saved today. I want you to understand this, and I really, really wish that you would take advantage of this and obey this. But you have every God-given right in heaven to rejoice. I mean, it's okay. You don't have to justify it. You don't have to explain it. You don't have to apologize for it. God said that you have every right in heaven as a child of God to rejoice. Finally, my brethren, I say rejoice. Amen. I'm telling you, man, we've got away from rejoicing. God's people needs to learn one more time, in spite of the charismatics, in spite of the Pentecostals, in spite, bless God, of the dead, emotionless Baptists, that rejoicing is okay in the Lord. Amen. It's okay to rejoice in the Lord. I can't help that most Baptists are dead. I can't help that they have no joy. I can't help that they're twice dead. I'm glad, thank God, I have a God-given right to rejoice in the Lord. Whoa! I'm glad, thank God, God gave me that right. I like it. There's always something, listen to me, there's always something or somebody, we sung it just a few seconds ago, minutes ago, there's always something or somebody in this life that's trying to steal your joy. Now, if it ain't out there, then it's folks inside the congregation that want to mock and make fun of all-time praise. You hear me? I mean, they want to make fun of it. I love John Phillips standing over here in this Baptist church in Advance. And he stood up and began to talk about those old-timers that shouted and got emotional and that rejoiced in the Lord. And that dead bunch of Baptists over there, I thought the man was mocking and making fun. And they began to laugh at that old-time praise and worship and that old rejoicing in the Lord. And John Phillips stood up and he looked at that crowd. He said, "That's the crowd that I got saved in, amen. And I'm glad it was the old-time way. And I'm glad it's approved of God. And it ain't just approved of God. It's a command of God to rejoice in the Lord." Right. Like that. It's okay to rejoice. There's always enough trouble and strife and junk and what they used to say, old wet blankets to try to steal your joy and calm down that fire that you got about you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you got an opportunity to rejoice in the Lord, he said, "We're rejoicing again, I say, rejoice." Again, let me remind you that your rejoicing comes through joy. Did you hear that? Can I be honest with you? You want to know why most people ain't rejoicing in the Lord? Because they ain't got no joy. That's where rejoicing comes from, is to rejoice. That's that they feed each other. And we rejoice, ladies and gentlemen, because we have joy. And because we have joy, we rejoice in the Lord. And the reason people ain't rejoicing, go ahead and explain it your way, but the reason people ain't rejoicing in the Lord, ain't got no joy. Hello, I like it. Now you could preach this at a camp meeting, and we'd probably climb in the walls by now. Right. You say, "Well, they're shallow." I'd rather be sometimes with a shallow crowd than the emotionless crowd. I said emotions just hurt the weak-minded. Your deadness affects everybody. Hello? And formalism, it destroys everything. Sure it does. That emotionalism only affects the weak. You just can't let it control you. They work hand in hand, ladies and gentlemen. Joy and rejoicing. Can I be honest with you, and I'll open the floor, or, you know, afterwards you can come along and disagree with me and tell me how wrong I am. Can I tell you that joy is a vivid emotion? Joy is a vivid visual emotion. Oh, and I don't believe in all them emotions. Well, then won't you just go ahead and kick your spouse in the head and tell them how much you don't love them, because love is an emotion. It's okay to love your spouse, ain't it? Ain't that okay? Oh, I love my spouse. I mean, hey, friend, I love my spouse. Now, I love my spouse. Don't shout. Don't get excited in the Lord now. No. Oh, I love, hey, bless God, don't you say that about my wife. That's emotion, ladies and gentlemen. You better not run your mouth about my family. That's emotion. But when Jesus said, "Take them same emotions, and I want you to show a vivid joy," I want folks to be able to see your joy. It's vivid. It's clear. That's right. It's visual. Did you hear me? I said it's visual. Bunch of dead mass makes me sick to my stomach. Hey, listen to me. I don't give a flip what you got to say about this. You're wrong, I'm right. You can't hide joy. You can't hide joy. You can't hide joy. You can't hide joy. You can't suppress joy. You can't have it your little way. You can't say, Lord, this is the way I'm going to take it, and this is how I'm going to have it. It's the Lord's, friend. The Holy Ghost give it to you. He gives you joy, and He gives it to you the way He gives it to you. I'll be honest, you can't hide it. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead and be all proper about your joy. Not what the Holy Ghost does. Right. Well, I'm
just trying to read through and get to where I'm trying to go, and I got bogged down on this joy business because we make fun of folks with joy. And we explain away how we're supposed to handle this rejoicing. Isn't it amazing? In 2018, in the old-time Independent Fundamental Baptist Church, that folks has explained away how to rejoice in the Lord. What's proper and what ain't. Why, you can't control your joy. I'm telling you, when the Holy Ghost drops a load on you, friend, it'll get out your banks. It'll get bigger than your little philosophy. It'll get bigger than your definitions. It'll get bigger than your little understanding. It'll get bigger than that little peony thing in your head that you call a brain. It'll overtake you. That's what worship is, friend. It will overtake you. It gets bigger than you. It gets bigger than your ideas. It gets bigger than your philosophy. It gets bigger than your deadness. And it just takes over, amen. Well, wouldn't it be something if we could get back over there where the joy of the Lord took over, huh? Well, the joy, wonder why we struggle along, because it's the joy of the Lord that's our strength. I'm telling you, friend, we ought to shout every once in a while and get a little joy. Right. Right. Joy is a vivid emotion. You can't hide it. If you remember, hold on now. Preach, I don't know about that. Well, let's fight God about it. You sit there dead in your seat and let's see what God said about it. Do you remember when Jesus came riding into Jerusalem on the ass of a colt? Of a colt's ass? Huh? And I like saying that. How many men here they was laying their garments down and they began to get them leaves and lay them down? You know what the Bible said they was doing before Jesus and after Jesus? They were rejoicing, friend. They were out there shouting out. They were having a time. King Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. Hosannas. Boy, I tell you, they were singing His praises. You know what that ungodly crowd done? They said, boy, they control their joy awful good. Look how calm they are. Now they said, man, what's the stir? What's going on? What's all this excitement about? Well, it was about the Lord Jesus showing up. Right. Wouldn't that be something? The lost people saw those believers rejoicing in the presence of the Lord Jesus. Wouldn't it be something one more time if a lost and dying world could see somebody didn't want to explain away why they were dead and cold on God, but why they could get on board and just let Jesus take over and just shout it out for a while and rejoice in the Lord and have a spell and run a lap and make a fool out of the flesh. Wouldn't it be a blessing if a lost and dying world I could see a happy Christian once in a while instead of a sour puss explanation? Wouldn't that be a blessing? Be a blessing. Huh? Wouldn't it be something if we could see this today? But no. We got educated. We got smart. We got sophisticated. And see, it's kind of a novice to sit and enjoy the Lord. Well, I'm so glad, thank God, that you sit there and brought up the word novice. Because as I listen to that great man of God, that doctor, you hear me? I mean a real earned doctor. Oh, Dr. Harold B. Seidler has this a preaching of the night. See, I went home and did what the evangelist said last Sunday. I went home and listened to God Can. And boy, I was listening to old Harold Seidler. And he got beside himself. And that big old church down there, them folks begin to shout. And old Dr. Seidler said, we on the radio, if we ain't careful, they'll think I'm a novice. See, now, if you grow up a little bit, you can't shout. After you learn better, you can't shout. After
could get a few little things up in this stupid little peony head of ours. We can't rejoice in the Lord. But I'm glad, thank God, them old timers. I'm glad they didn't tell old Brother Sammy Allen, you got to be calm now. Don't get excited, Brother Allen. Don't you sweat. Don't you shout. Don't you jump up and down. Don't get excited about God. What you need to do is just take it easy. Don't let nobody see that. We'll think you're a novice, man.
Tell you what some of these folks need to do. Junk their stinking pride. And swallow, bless God, some of their stupid ideas. And jump in Jesus and swim around in the joy of the Lord for a while. Amen. Do a backstroke in the joy of the Lord. Amen. How many times just let it all go and then just enjoy Jesus for a bit? But we're going to get there. I wouldn't want nobody to do it, faking it or pumping it up. There's been times, Steve, where there was things going on in my life and my joy tank was on the red instead of on the full side. But you know what I did, Mama? Because of what the Bible said, not because of what my joy tank was reading, not because of my behavior, not because I was a good person, but because of what the Bible said, I went in there and lifted up my head and raised my voice and rejoiced in the Lord anyhow by faith. Amen. Do it by faith.
Yeah.
I don't feel like it. Thank God, I'm glad we ain't operating by feelings. We did. We'd probably be like the rest of the people in this county. Just laid up in the bed this morning. Right. And operating on feelings. Got to operate on the Word of God. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, it's always right. Thank God to rejoice in the Lord. I told my wife and didn't know I was going to even bring it up. But I told my wife, I said, isn't it amazing? We was going down the road this morning. And I seen all them beautiful trees riding down the road. And I can't hardly ride around much without looking at trees and not looking at trees without thinking how the trees of the Lord are full of sap. And how old Brother Leroy used to talk about that sap was the Holy Ghost. I mean, how the children of God were to be full of the Holy Ghost. Man, I'm telling you, just good old stuff in your mind. I mean, I'd rather think about that than Einstein's philosophy, hadn't you? I mean, I'd rather think about a good old chapter 107 of Psalms or 103rd Psalms or Psalm 78 or a Psalm. I mean, wouldn't that be Psalm 73? Wouldn't it be Psalms 23, Psalms 22, Psalm 60, Psalms 1, Psalms 2, Psalms 150? Wouldn't that be a blessing? Sit around, think about that kind of stuff. Listen to me, friend. You can't sit around and meditate on God too long and that joy tank stay empty. Oh, no. What is the fruit of the Holy Ghost? What is the fruit of the Spirit? Somebody tell me what the fruit of the Spirit is. Love. What? Love. Joy. Amen. He'll produce it. If he's in there, he'll produce it. The reason we ain't got it, because we ain't got him. Yeah. Reason there ain't no joy, we ain't got no Holy Spirit. He produces that in our life. I mean, I didn't ask him to. It's just a place. It's that bondo deal that I was telling you about. When I got him, I got joy, I got love, I got peace, all that stuff just bundled together. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Thank God for the joy of the Lord. Man, I'm telling you, we ought to rejoice in the Lord, those of you that are born again. I told my wife this morning, I said, isn't it amazing? All them trees. I said, all them trees and that one big, beautiful oak tree in my yard had to get struck by lightning. Probably one of the prettiest trees in my yard had to get struck by lightning. Got taken down. It's dead. I said, man, that's a shame. I hated losing that tree. Big old tree, that big around, just beautiful. And there was a place over there. It was one of them pin oaks. It's where they took and cut that big chunk out and made that little puppet. Pinocchio. Just kidding. It took me a long time in my life to figure out Pinocchio came from a pin oak. I said, down there, now. I told my wife, I said, you know what? I want to thank God that tree got struck by lightning. You never know. A limb might have fell out of that tree and hit my granddaughter in the head and killed her. I said, it might have fell over on the house and crushed us and get anything like that could happen. I'm glad God struck that old tree with lightning. It's a good thing, friend. So, preacher, what I'm talking about, just rejoicing in the Lord and everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I'm telling you, ladies, I know that might be silly, but that was my tree in my yard. And I like trees.
Just say, ladies and gentlemen, we were to not run around so much with the mully grubs. And I thought Zach's idea, he had a pretty good idea.
He said one time, he said, what we ought to do, all these happily married people, you know, man and wife, woman, female, male and female, ought to get together and parade through the streets of our cities. And we were to hug on our spouses. And we were to go kiss on our spouses. And we were to celebrate marriage God's way. And I thought, boy, wouldn't that be a blessing? That's a good idea. I like that. I've latched on to it, but man, that's a good idea. We were to express and show, thank God, in this world, there's still some people that loves their spouse God's way. Amen. Marriage is still good and holy and right God's way. But you know what would be also good besides that? It would be good if you could go back there to the house of God one more time and show a lost and dying world that there is joy in the Lord. There is some folks that's still going to rejoice in spite of what's in Washington, in spite of what the paycheck says. There's still some people that's excited about Jesus. Amen.
You learn better than that now. Phooey on that junk. You hear me? Phooey on that. I got no use for explaining away the way you handle joy, because it is an outward, vivid expression and emotion. Amen. Amen. New people that was in the Bible that was rejoicing in the Lord, the heathens was going, what's the excitement about? I'm glad you asked. Amen. Woo! That's the reason they used to put the sheep on one side and the goats on the other side in the church. Because they wanted the goats out of a sea of people that had peace, love, joy, fellowship, and a thrill about being born again to create a hunger that they wanted what they had. Would you believe that's what happened to me? When I saw, and listen folks, I grew up cutting my teeth as a little boy. I wasn't as tough as these Asquith kids. We didn't eat rocks. We ate food. But I cut my teeth on Oliver Green. I grew up on him. I didn't ever hear him. I didn't ever listen. But I grew up on him. And I listened to this preacher and that preacher. But there was something different. When I walked in that church up there that day, and that man of God was a-roaming and roaring in that pulpit, and I went, I don't know what he's got. Whatever it is, I sure do want. Hey, man. I didn't know what he had. I knew he had something, man, like I'd never seen before. And a lot of those other men had it. Don't misunderstand me. Oh, Oliver Green, he had the power of God. He had salvation. I never seen it. God never let the scales fall off my eyes like I did that night, like he did that night. And I've seen it like I've never seen it. And it created a hunger and a thirst. I don't know what he's got, but I want it. Wouldn't it be something if we had sinners today that could look at saved folks? There ain't much difference between saved folk and lost folks anymore. But wouldn't it be something if the saved folks, and I'm preaching to myself because I fail miserably in the sight of sinners. Why I got to preach this? Jesus preaches this stuff to me. Preacher's tearing us up. No, God's tearing me up today. Right. Fell miserably. You don't think every time, Steve, somebody died, we've had at least 10 people to die in my life. Young people, middle-aged people. I mean people that's going to bust hell wide open. And they've died in my life. You don't think I went back and examined myself and found faults and failures where I wasn't the Christian that I ought to be? I mean, I walked away from somebody 2 weeks ago and I went, that away, you little idiot. That away to let them see what a man of God is. More like what a man of God ain't. Fail miserably at this stuff. Say, preacher, why are you preaching? Because I'm going to tell you what, when I preach this stuff, the Holy Ghost never lets me get away from it. The next time I start drifting a little bit, the Holy Ghost will bring this stuff back to my remembrance and say, you remember this old boy? Man, it's hard to get away from it, ladies and gentlemen. Just want you to understand, this is not my opinion. Rejoicing in the Lord is not my opinion, and it's not your definition. It's a command of God Almighty. God's the one that said, do it. He said, when you get done with it, do it again. And again, I say rejoice. Don't stop doing it. Amen. Ain't no reason to stop rejoicing. Lord, have mercy.
My goodness. My goodness.
I know people make fun of it, but I make fun of normal Bible college. I mock normal Bible college. But at our Bible college, when I went to Bible school, here's what we would do. We would go in there, the teacher would open up the book of Nehemiah, and as soon as he seen the word, the name Sanballat, he turned that thing into sin, cast his ballot, and we would rejoice in the Lord. For the next 2 hours in class, instead of studying and getting smarter, we would just rejoice in the Lord. We would just go, you know what? Sin did cast his ballot. Sin did come my way. Sin did try to rule my life. But thanks be unto God for the grace of God, for the blood of Jesus. And for the next 2 hours, we would just get dumber by rejoicing in the Lord. Amen. Woo! Amen.
It may not have meant nothing to nobody else, but I'll be honest with you. Here I am a bunch of years later, and it still means something to me. Hey, man. Hey, what good did that do everybody? I can't account for everybody else, but I know what it did in my life. Here I am today, still serving Him, still rejoicing in the Lord, still thrilled about it, still excited about Jesus. I mean, still just looking at that joy tank and saying, give me some more, God, give me some more. I like it. You know what the Lord usually says?
When I ask Him for more joy, He said, how about less of you? How about let's empty you out a little bit?
We're so full of self anymore.
We can't get full of nothing else. Listen, folks. If we're 1%, if we're holding on to that 1%, if we're holding on to that 0.1%, we're not full. We're holding on to something else. I'm telling you, boy, it's perfect submission. All is at rest. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of you present your bodies a living sacrifice. 99.9% sold it. Oh, no, friend. Holy and acceptable. I mean, son, the whole package. God's good. I like what old Brother Allen used to say. Boy, we give God the house, but we got a couple rooms that we keep for ourselves. I tell you what, man, I want Him to have my closets. I won't
listen to me. Hey, man, would you believe, Michael, that I gave Jesus underneath my mattress? That's where me and Michael hide things. I gave Him the between my mattress space.
Ain't that a blessing, babe? You ain't got to lift up the mattress and put a sheet on and find an old stupid thing underneath the mattress that your wicked, perverted, unpleased husband has to sit and look. Ain't you glad, thank God? You can give Him the closets. I'm telling you, friend, if you come to my house, there ain't nothing in my closets here. There ain't nothing underneath the bed. I used to clean carpet, man. You'd be amazed at what we would find and where we would find it. And the first thing that go through your mind was all the perversion. Just wicked, friend. I'm so glad, thank God, that Jesus can have it all. I'm glad there ain't a place in the house we got to worry that our granddaughter's going to stumble up on. Right.
Oh, don't let her open that door. Oh, no.
I'm glad that's over. Hallelujah.
Been times in my life where you couldn't open every door.
But I stand before you today with an examined man. I've examined myself. As far as I know, there's not one door that you can't open.
That's right. Boy, if it's there, I don't know it's there. I might need you, some religious crowd, or I might need God to show it to me. I can't find it. Right, I've examined, I've looked. Just want you to understand, ladies and gentlemen, I wasn't even going to talk about this stuff. But it's okay to rejoice in the Lord. I'm thoroughly convinced of what the preacher said last week.
You know, we think about this little genie, and we could, you know, rub that little bottle and genie comes out and make 3 wishes. We fantasized about, you know, things. And I remember one time I was in a deer stand, couldn't tell if the deer came by or not. I was off in a trance because the thought had captivated my attention. What if I was a multimillionaire? And I began to think, sitting there in that deer stand, of what I would do if I was a multimillionaire. Now listen, it was all just a dream. And that's what I was in. I was in a trance, and I was sitting up there in that stand. It was 5:30 in the morning. It was about 8 below zero. Did I say 8? It was about 1,800 below zero. Icicles hanging off my eyelids. I mean, man, it was cold. It was cold. And my warm wife was laying in the bed. I'm a fool, jump up in this stupid old steel stand hugging this tree. My wife's over there all nice and warm and cuddly. I'm up here hugging this stupid tree. Needless to say, I don't deer hunt in the morning no more. I'm an evening hunter, Steve. I like to hunt in the evening. Amen. It was a little bit warmer, and you ain't got to make that kind of a sacrifice to get up in there. Boy, I was thinking about it. Being a millionaire. I was off out there somewhere, church. I'm telling you, they could have been a trophy buck to walk out there. I'd have never known. I didn't have a clue. They could have been a bear climbing. I'm telling you, I was off in a daydream, just daydream. What would I do if I was a multi-millionaire? Man, I was thinking I would do this and I would do that. Listen, church, I've told that little silly story because I want you to understand something. And I've examined my heart. If I could rub that genie today, have any wish in this world, my first wish would be, and I thought about it, my first wish would be that I could come here and save everybody that's lost. But I can't. I get frustrated. I get beat up. I get beat down. I get psychologically wore out. I get all kind of emotionally roller coastered up. Man, I get to thinking about this thing and get to thinking about people that is sitting in here that I love, and you're going to die and go to hell, and some of you care, and some of you couldn't care less, and couldn't care less, and I said that right, couldn't care less. Worried more, bless God, about what somebody's going to say about you. Think, well, man, your pride, your cussing pride is going to put you in hell.
Yeah.
Give a flip what anybody thinks. I tell you, anybody halfway right with God, what they're going to think. They're going to thank God. They're going to thank God. They're going to be so glad. Thank God that you junked it all and you ran to Jesus. I'm telling you, if they don't think that, I wouldn't give a fooling on what they did think.
I like what the preacher said last week. And I've often wondered.
And I've sought the Lord. And I've sought wisdom from other people in counsel. And I went, man, why won't people get saved? Why won't people get saved? What's wrong with people? Why do they not get saved? And I push and I try and I push and I try. And yet nothing, no result. Sometimes I see even a greater distance. I'm going, my God, you're going to hell. You're going to die and go to hell.
No matter how hard I try, no matter how hard I cry, no matter how hard I push, no matter how many people I call, I'm going to tell you something. It's going to take the Holy Ghost of God. Not a near one of the people that I've asked, why won't they get saved? Nobody's mentioned the Holy Ghost to me. But when that preacher said that last week, I went, dear God, that's the answer. It's the Holy Ghost. And church, listen, I examined my own life then when he began to talk about the Holy Ghost doing his work, teaching you and leading you and guiding you and the ministry of the Holy Ghost to convict you of your sin and all that kind of stuff. And I mean, man, I began to examine my life because I understand that where that sin is, it's hard for the Holy Ghost to have that preeminence and that liberty to work. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And sin and spirit don't mix. No, they don't mix. Boy, I'm telling you, I've searched my own heart and said, Lord, I got some things in my life and I need to get it out. Oh, church, repentance is a wonderful thing. I repented before I got saved and I've never stopped. Man, I just want you to understand, it's right to rejoice in the Lord. As a child of God. My goodness. I'm not going to get to what I thought I was going to get to, but I believe I've pleased the Lord. Would it be all right if I just look at verse 2 and let's just go there and maybe just quit? If the Lord wants us to quit, maybe I'll be sensitive and recognize it and won't even expound. But look at what he said. I think this is a strange thing. He said, beware of dogs. Now, I know this is a little humorous, but there's a few times where I go knock on doors and they got dogs in the yard and I just have to go, somebody else got to let them, because I'm aware of dogs. I ain't got no use for a mean dog. I like dogs. I don't give a flip about a dog that's going to bite me. I don't give a flip about it. No. Somebody needs to shoot that dog. I don't care nothing about that dog. Kill that dog. Bother me at all. Watch his head swell up with a piece of lead. It won't bother me at all. Going to bite somebody. He said, beware of dogs. I thought that's a strange thing. 2 Peter 2:22 says this. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit again. And the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Now, I tried to tell my niece about a week or so ago, she's got a pet pig. And we did too when I was growing up. You know, I don't know how many of y'all ever seen Green Acres. Now, we didn't have a TV, but I'd sneak around and watch stuff. I'd go to my cousin's house, and I remember on Green Acres, and they had a pig on there, and that pig could communicate with Mr. Ziffel. And if you don't know who Mr. Ziffel is, there's no way. You miss it. I'm telling everybody, it wasn't his name, Mr. Ziffel, because the pig's name was Arnold Ziffel. And he named his pig, and his pig was his pal, his right-hand man. He's my buddy, my pal. That was his pig. And he named his pig Arnold. That pig would talk to Mr. Ziffel. Mr. Ziffel would talk back. And Mr. Ziffel would ask old Arnold a question. And he'd go on. And Mr. Ziffel, he would put confidence in what old Arnold said. Wouldn't you know it that we had hogs when I was growing up, and I named every one of them Arnold. Every last one of them's name was Arnold. I named them Arnold. They were my pets. All except for the last one that we had. That sucker got after me. Then I was down there in the pig pen. And I know that probably ain't hygienic and all that, but you have to remember I was a boy. And I was down there in the pig pen with the hog, just watering in his muck and mire. Didn't bother me at all. I was a little boy. Huh? I mean, we played in the hog pen. And the best tomatoes I ever seen growed up in the hog pen. I mean, just big old beautiful, beautiful tomatoes where the hog mashed the old slop in the ground. Next year came up some pretty tomatoes. But I'll never forget, old Arnold got after me down there that day, and I jumped the fence and got out of there and cussed that pig and said, I'll get you. Boy, I'm telling you, it was a happy day in my life when I sat down at the kitchen table and we ate Arnold. That story has nothing to do with anything. I'm just telling you that my niece said she's got a pet pig. And the only pet pig, I petted it because I knew one of these days we was going to the slaughterhouse and we was going to slit his throat. And we was going to skin that sucker. And we was going to eat the skin. We was going to eat the feet. We was going to eat the pigtail. We was going to eat the brains. We was going to eat everything about this sucker. One of these days, old boy. Yeah, good pig. You eat up now, good pig. Go ahead, Arnold. You good, Arnold. You're going to be so good as bacon, son. Let me tell you something. You can clean them pigs up. Listen, you can clean them pigs up all you want to. They go back. They happy in the muck, in the mire. They happy. They love it. You can wash that sucker. It don't give a flip. It's going to go right back, wallowing that muck, and it's happy in it. How many of y'all ever seen a dog? And that dog can be clean. And that dog can find an old dead possum out there. Somebody done run over and it's rotten. Ain't much left but a hide and an old stench. And that dog run out there and just waller, just lay down and just rub all up in that rotten, decayed body. You ever seen it? They do it all the time. Your dog, my dog, they all do it. You ever have a chance? They'll find a turtle on the ground, they'll go waller in it. Nasty dogs, he said, beware of them. Why? Because they want to go back to the muck. Isn't it amazing that dogs want to return to their vomit? I don't know if y'all have ever seen it. How many of y'all ever seen a dog puke and turn around and eat his puke? That's some nasty junk, man.
Yeah.
That's some nasty junk. I don't like it. I mean, I put the cooties on my dog when that sucker pukes and turns around and eats. But I'm glad he eats it because I don't want to clean it up. I'm like, what are we going to do? And then that sucker turns around and eats. And I'm like, I can't even watch that dog eat that puke. And then when he's done, did he get it all?
Good, because I don't want to step in it, man. I swear, I'm trying to wipe it up.
But that's not pleasant.
And Jesus said, beware of dogs. He said, beware of going back to your vomit.
Beware of going back to the muck and the mire from which you've been cleaned. Because he knew that we were prone to wander. And I know a lot of people don't like that. But ladies and gentlemen, this flesh ain't dead. Amen. This flesh ain't saved. There's an inner man, thank God, that hates the muck and the mire, but this flesh still loves it. And boy, how prone I am to find me a mud hole somewhere. He said to beware of that. Do you understand? There's nothing for a child of God to go back to. What you going back to? Huh? You going to go back to drinking? You going to go back to fornicating?
Are you kidding me? You talking about you got the Prince of Glory and now you going to go back to that?
Ain't nothing to go back to. Ain't nothing to go back to. Anybody that's going back knows that. Ain't got to drill that too much. But just as a dog returns to his vomit, listen to me, so does a fool return to his folly. That's a foolish thing to go back to sin. What's this? With that in mind, not everybody in the congregation is saved. Not everybody sitting on church pews today is saved. And believe it or not, some folks cannot stand to see other folks get along and do well. You mentioned this in Sunday school. Would you believe that not everybody inside the church house today, as a whole, collectively, all over the world, is not in this thing to see everybody else prosper and do well and get close to God and live for Jesus? That's not their motive. They don't even want to see that. They couldn't care about that. But some people do. And they'll do anything in their power, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to me. He said to beware of dogs. I'm going to tell you what they're wanting to do. They're wanting to vomit on you. That's what they're wanting to do. Oh, we'll get there. Some people don't want to see you saved, Zach. Some people don't want to see you sell out to God. They don't want to see you get born again. You know, how many testimonies y'all heard of preachers that got saved and people were happy, but when they started telling everybody about, you know, getting called to preach, people started going, oh no. I mean, when they started going to all these revival meetings and they started reading their Bible every day and they started having a real-time prayer life and they started telling the rest of the family members about, you know, true salvation, they started going, oh boy, here we go. They're glad they got saved. Now, don't you sell out to God now. They just soon see you wallowing your vomit for a little while. They don't mind you making a profession. But a lot of people would rather see you wallowing in the vomit. They like to see dirt. You know why? Because they got so much dirt in their life. They're ingesting, digesting so much puke and vomit in their life. They want to see everybody else wallow around in it and get a little bit for themselves. That's right, son. They hate to see people clean up and live holy. What are they going to do? Listen to me. What does people do? I'll never forget. Boy, I wish I had something. They'll get that paddle out. And they'll start stirring the pot. Come on. They'll start stirring. What's in there? A bunch of vomit. They just gonna stir in that pot. How many they gonna say things and they gonna bring up things and they gonna do things, friend, that ain't nothing but a bunch of godless vomit. And God said to beware of them. Beware. Because these people out there that's wanting to sling some vomit your way. And don't you that? What you better do is run from it like it's a rattlesnake. Don't sit over there and entertain the thought. Don't sit over there and bless God and flirt with it. Don't sit over there and give them an ear to hear. What you ought to do is just go ahead and say, that's vomit. That's vomit. Like it or love it, that's vomit. And I ain't having no part of it. No part of it. Vomit. So what is that going to do? Because I'm telling you, folks, if you start entertaining them vomiting thoughts, I like the way old Brother Allen says it. He don't say vomit for the T's. It's vomit with a CK. Vomit. And now all these little wannabe preachers running, vomit, vomit. And so I'm a wannabe preacher. So I'm going to say, vomit. They want to sling their vomit on you. I wish to God I had a Bible. I'm telling you right now,
folks that's going to tell you some... Shh, listen. Psst. Hey, listen. Let me vomit on you. Hey, psst, come here. Let me vomit on you. Puke. How many of y'all want somebody puking on you? I've had a few drunks in my car. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you how you find your way out of my car real quick. Be a drunk and start puking. You're getting out of my car. I'll never forget, I had old Randy Myers. He'd been drinking all day. Went down High Rock Lake, and I was lost. And we was down there at High Rock Lake, and I never took a drink. I was driving, trying to do things about halfway right, and lost. And God done convicted me about this drinking business. Old Randy, God hadn't convicted him. He sat up there in church all his life, but God never convicted him of anything. And a Baptist church, of all things. And Randy been there at High Rock drinking all day, Steve. And that's when Durasteel had a booth over there at the Dixie Classic Fair. And we went over there, and he was sneaking around drinking over there. And he went over to the burlesque show and took his pocket knife. I mean, after he watched the burlesque show, of course. And took his pocket knife and started cutting the ropes off the tent in the burlesque show until that thing collapsed and all the women and everybody had naked come running out. I got him in the car that night. And said, "We're going home, Randy." And that sucker thought he rolled my window down, got about halfway down. And there he went, I'm doing 60 miles an hour. That vomit just went boom all over the back window of my car, inside the back seat. I said, "Guess what, big boy? We going to the car wash and your honey is washing my car on the inside. You cleaning this drunk Randy Myers crawling through my car, cleaning all the vomit out." You say, "Preacher, well, I don't want nobody vomiting on me. Nobody. Keep your vomit to yourself." Amen. I don't even like watering in my own vomit. I sure don't want to water in yours. Right. Does anybody know what strife is? Does anybody know what contention is? You getting my point? Contention. I got a burden I want to share with you. I'm going to share this prayer quick. How many prayer meetings I've been in where they started puking on people? Shut up. If I wanted to puke, listen, if I wanted to water and puke, I'd go get drunk watering some puke. I'm going to get the full money, you understand? I don't want your puke. Do you know what bitterness is? You know what hatred is? Hatred is? Hey, what she is? I'm not really going to say anything, but I'm just going to give you a negative innuendo. You can figure it out for yourself, but there's only one path you can go down to figure it out, and it's the path I want you to go down. You know what I'm talking about? Negative innuendos. Make these little suggestions, this little idea. Put thoughts in your head. Wicked as 97,000 devils. You know why? Because they're full of 97,000 devils. Hello! Praise God. That's right. It's exactly right. Here's what it is. Them little negative innuendos. Them little ideas that people say, "That's vomit, friend. That's vomit." Beware of dogs. Don't water in that vomit, friend. Right. He's very plain about that. Beware of this. I mean, ain't this something right after he said, "Rejoice in the Lord"? Now he's got to tell us, "Be careful, because I tell you, you get too close, you get to go along pretty good for Jesus. There'll be some old dog coming up trying to puke on you." Hello. I love it. I love the Word of God. I need this so much in my life. Do you understand? I want you to understand, I promise you, under God, I'll put my hand on God's holy word, and I don't hope lightning strikes over there. I hope lightning strikes me dead if I sit here and I'm telling you I have any idea where God was rolling me this morning. No motives, no plans. I'm just trying to follow God. It's one of them quails out of the coveys that's done jumped up this morning, and God wants to kill that sucker. Right, we're going to take a shot. Puke. Vomit. Sit around, bless God, and run your mouth. That's vomit. Gossip, that's vomit. That backbiting, that's vomit. Those tailbearers, that's vomit. God said, beware of that. Don't waller in that.
Don't entertain that. Get away from it. Run from it. Thank God for you that do. God said to beware. What's this? Man. You better get away before you get some vomit on you. Don't nobody like vomit but dogs. Ain't nobody enjoying that muck and that mire but a pig. Right. You know what them pigs are, don't you? Come on. Help me out. Listen, this ain't homiletics 101. This is Bible. You know what them pigs are, don't you? They full of the devil. Sure they are. Man, he cast them devils. Them unclean spirits went in them. But you know where they're at? They, some of them stay there at the beach because every time people go, they start stripping down naked like that maniac did. They get that naked devil down there to be. Then they get inside the church and they get that gossip pig. That little towel pair, I want to tell you something. This ain't the truth, but I want you to think this way. This is what I want you to think. Zach mentions it before in Sunday school that we got people that you can't. I don't even want to say it because it is. I don't want to make you think wicked. But there's certain things you can't say around certain people, Michael. Because they start suggesting filthy stuff. They turn it around perverted. And all these little things that they drop, they don't really say it. Them little innuendos, but they make you think it. They don't say it, but they make you think it. They set it up for your thoughts. That's what it is, that little innuendo. They set the platform up for you to start thinking their way. Vomit. Vomit. If it's not godly, if it's not holy, if it's not going to help you draw closer to Him, if it's not going to help some brother that's overtaken in fault, if it's not going to help somebody out of the wrong side of the ditch, hey, I'm telling you, friend, just we're a study to be quiet, amen. You know what study to be quiet is? I know we don't understand this word very well because of the world and religion and everything else. But we'll tell you what study to be quiet is. It's called charity, ladies and gentlemen. Just shut up. When y'all not be talking, just shut your mouth. That's a good act of charity. Study to be quiet. Because, you know, sometimes charity is simply thinking more about others than you do yourself. Whoa! Don't that line up with, let each esteem others better than themselves. You know what that is? That's an act of charity. You know, I might not go in that place down there that sells root beer because that old boy sees beer on the sign and it offends him. So out of charity, I'm not going to do something to offend my brother. That's an act of charity. That ain't love. That's an act of charity. That's considering other people's thoughts, other people's feelings. We fail all miserably. But I'm telling you what, I try not to. I don't want to. I don't want to set it up. I don't want to set it up to fail. Well, I want to raise the standard a little bit. Then he said, "What's this? And I'm done. I promise you, I'll try to. What time? I ain't been going, but y'all, I promise I ain't been going but 45 minutes. I'll be done." He said, "Beware of the concision." Concision is this. Concision is the act of cutting to pieces. Are you listening? The act of cutting to pieces or cutting away like a circumcision or what's this or mutilation. See, we leave a lot of circumcision. What about mutilation? Oh, because you circumcise somebody don't mean you got to mutilate them. What? Two totally different things, right? Sure. Mutilation. Boy, right after he said to rejoice, there's going to be folks trying to mutilate you. And that's something. I mean, you took one step closer to God this week, and guess what? You better get ready for some concision, but I want you to beware. I want you to understand there's some people that's wanting to mutilate you out there. They'll cut you up and cut you to pieces, man. They'll cut you asunder. Ain't you glad the Bible is the Bible? It means cutting off or cutting up. Listen, it's used many times in the stead of circumcision. You think Paul's worried about your circumcision here today? You think Paul's concerned about that here today? Oh, now he don't want us to get caught up in that foolishness where some religions get caught up in it, where this is salvation. No, 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 no. Let's get down
or two of the rubber meets the road in 2018 and apply this to us today, because the Bible is an all-time book. If we're here in the year 3018, there'll be something in this verse for those folks in 3018. Can I tell you what Paul's concerned about? He's concerned. He said, I want you to be aware of those people that try to cause division among you. Them discord sowers. I got a little vomit here. Discord. I got a little vomit here. Oh, hey. Hey! Hey! Come here! Oh, come here. I got a little. Come here. I got some vomit. Come here. Let me sow this into you. Discord. Let me tell you about old so-and-so. Let me tell you what they did. I'll tell you what you got to do. I love each and every individual in this place. All you ever have to do is ask me. I love you enough, I'll tell you the truth. If I tell you a lie, so help me God, I hope God's my witness. It's an honest lie. It's the truth as I know it. And if you can show me where I'm wrong, I'll tell you, I'll get that junk right. You hear me? By the grace of God, let me say that. If you can show me where that's a lie, I want to stand up on that thing and let's get that thing right and tell the truth about it. But if I tell you something is false, it's because my information is twisted or distorted. How many of y'all ever tell lies when you don't really even have to? I know y'all God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and some of us. But I'm a very private person, Steve. You don't believe that, but I really am private. I don't want everybody knowing what I'm doing, all that. It don't amount to a hill of beans. I just don't. Ain't none of your business. I ain't doing nothing wrong. But if I'm building a deck and I don't want you to know I'm building a deck, it ain't none of your stinking business, okay? I'm not going to call you on your job and ask the details of your job. I don't care. It ain't my business. Some things is everybody's business. Some things ain't nobody's business. The way my wife treats me, oh, help me. Let's go. Bye, y'all. Come on. Got to think about how you treat me, girl. I'm looking forward to it. It got real quiet over here when I started off that like that. Nonsense. Got real quiet. A man called me the other day, and it was not his business. I didn't want him to know where I was at and what I was doing. What are you doing? I'm remodeling a bathroom. It don't amount to a hill of beans. I said, I'm building a deck. He said, Preacher, you lied. Yep, I sure did. My wife said over there, and I got the dustpan and scooped it up and tried to pick her chin back up off the floor. That's a wonderful thing. That was such a wonderful testimony that my wife fell up. Her mouth fell open when she heard me lie. I'm so glad, thank God, it wasn't a normal thing. And I said to her, why in the name of God did I tell him I was building a deck? And I'm like, oh, I'm not just building a deck. I'm building a two-story deck. Eric, I ain't talking about you. I'm talking about nothing else. Because Eric calls me and we talk about words and stuff like that. I want to clear the air. It was my uncle. I'm going to let you know. It was my uncle. It ain't none of his business, okay? We try to keep things private from him. He's a nosy. He twists things. He turns things. You can't say nothing to the sucker. I mean, it just goes nuts. And I'm sitting there on the phone going, why did I tell? I was not even serious. I just threw something out there that I went, you know, I'm lying. My wife's going, hey, you lied. I'm over there giving her sign language. Shut up! Shut your mouth. I know I lied. Now I'm mad because I got caught. And he's talking now, and I don't have a clue what he said because I'm thinking about my stupid lie. Ooh, help me, Jesus. I said, hey, I want you to know I churched it up. I said, I was just kidding. I'm not building a deck. I said, I'm remodeling a bathroom. He said, you liar. You lie. I declare you lie. You lie. And I went, man, I'm just messing with you. I said, ain't none of your stinking business what I'm doing. He said, why? I said, because it just ain't none of your business, okay? I'll tell you anything. I didn't have no reason to tell him that. I just thought, man, you know, I didn't want him to know what I was doing because, you know, what are you doing right this second? Where are you at right this second? Can you come here right this second? No, leave me alone. You don't need to know what I'm doing. Now, y'all are a lot better than I am. I know you wouldn't dare do anything like that. And I know that if you did, you'd do better than what I did and come clean about it, tell the man, yeah,
I told you wrong. You know why, Michael? Because God, the Holy Ghost, my wife didn't need to drop her mouth open. She didn't need to sit there and point her finger at me. None of that stuff need to take place. Because as soon as it happened, the Holy Ghost went, poof! The Spirit of God on the inside of me went, poof! The Spirit of truth on the inside of me went, poof! You know, sometimes he'll open his mouth wide open and a big praise God will come out. But when I did that, the Spirit of God got locked jaw of it. Grief. I know it. I said, what is man? I told him exactly what I was doing. I said, that ain't the truth. The truth is I'm working on a bathroom. Now that's all you need to know. The rest of it ain't none of your business. And I did tell him that. Now your business. I said, you go to work and you mind your business, and I'm gonna work over here and mind mine. Nosy sucker. Paul's concerned about people causing, what's this? Divisions in these walls. Paul's concerned about, I think God wants us to understand in 2018, that according to, I believe it's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there will not be any schisms in here. None of that vomit just floating around. That needs to go. Beware of that. And here's my deal. When you nip vomit in the bud, it seems like, you know, you can kind of help take care of it. You know how many times after me and Randy Myers went to the car wash, you know how many times he's puked in my car since then? It's been over 30 years. You know how long he's puked in my car? Not one time. I seen him the other day, Steve, and I pulled up, and old Randy, he was up on a hill mowing, and I seen him kept looking, and he was streaking, missing. No, I'm just kidding, but he was mowing, and man, here he comes. Boom! Hey, David! You remember old Bill Elliott? I went, yeah, Randy, I'm not retarded. I'm stupid, but I'm not retarded.
I remember.
He said, man, I was up there in Dawson and started telling me a story. He said, old Bill Elliott's son won a race the other day, and up there in Dawsonville, he said, I was there, and they got a big old bell up there. He said, that boy won that race. He said, man, they rung that bell. He said, you can. I said, oh, glory to God. That's so wonderful, Randy. Hallelujah.
I said, is that right? Yeah.
I'm trying to quit, Michael. I'm trying to quit. But when I was dinner in Lawley, Florida, we had a young pastor. Dean McNeese, pretty popular today. Runs around with some of the big time evangelists. And he was young back then, and Dean made quite a few mistakes, like we all did. And we had a lot of people in the church that was full of hell, and they couldn't stand him. They just couldn't stand him. Now, I liked old Dean. He was crazy, he had his ways, but I really liked old boy. I liked him. And there was always a lot of drama and just stuff all the time around. And you have to understand, Lawley, Florida, if they wasn't spreading the gossip, then they were sleeping with the children. Or grandchildren, or whatever, something. And a bunch of incest freaks, perverts. That's right, amen. It is what it is. But I'll never forget this old gal come down there, and her name, I won't care to tell you, she come down there to my house. Everybody used to run her mouth, and y'all met, y'all. There was this one big old boy stood up, and I mean, he was big enough. He passed gas bigger than me. I mean, he was much of a man. I'm telling you, he's a man. He stood up down there one day in the church service like an idiot, and he said, you know, he said, if we was to put Brother Dean in a scale and weigh the good versus the bad, and the Spirit of God smote my heart when he said that. I said, what in the name of God are you doing putting the pastor in a scale? Why are you judging him like that? And so the Spirit of God made me stand up and reprove that. I mean, you know, you got a problem. Let's go, man. Go right with him. And then here come this woman down there to my house. I tell you, I said, I'll fix her.
She come back down there. I said, look, we ain't got no crackers. Get out of here. Oh, no. I take my brother Dean. I said, oh, wait a minute. I'll never forget it. I see her face. I can see where I was standing. I see where she was standing. I said, let me tell you something. You come down here with that vomit on God's man. I said, I'll stand before God and the whole church and tell everybody in that place exactly what you've got to say about my pastor. I said, right or wrong, he's my pastor. That's the man God put in that place. And you ain't coming down here to puke on us. Amen, amen. She got mad at me. She turned that 350-pound hind end around and just swooshed out of my... I mean, son, she got... You hear me? She never let that go. She never repented. She got after me. She got after me and had a bullseye on me from that day forward. But I promise you one thing. She didn't come back down there and spread bombs about my pastor. Amen. Now listen, I'm just saying you handle it the way you want to handle it. I don't give a flip who likes it or who don't. I'm not wallowing in your vomit. Don't come puking on me. I don't like it. I don't even like my own puke. I mean, man, my puke makes me puke, don't it? I mean, man, when I throw up again because I threw up. I hate it. Well, I ain't going to say nothing else. Paul said, don't put no confidence in this flesh. Don't put no confidence in that junk. Father, I didn't get to say what I wanted to say, but I believe I said what you wanted said. And I had no ulterior motive. I had no plan. Lord, I believe I did your will in here today, somewhere, somehow. And God, it needs to be said. I pray, God, that you'd bless each and every individual in here and help us, God, to get rid of the vomit. Help us, God, to get out of the muck and out of the mire and quit wallowing around in the pig poop. Lord, we love you and we thank you. God, I pray that you'd help us to draw closer to you than we've ever been. All that other junk ain't nothing but a hindrance. It's just something, God, to get us sidetracked. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to keep our eyes on Jesus and keep pressing forward, dear God, toward that prize. I pray that you'd help us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you, church.